First of all, I'd like to have us close our eyes for a second. And I want you to think about honoring a quality that you loved or liked about your father. And hold that. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to fathers. A divine role, an opportunity to practice our divine qualities as protector, guide, provider, forgiveness, all of the divine principles. So, you know, we all love stories. So I'm going to start by telling a story. And first of all, last night I was telling Bill, I have been pet sitting for my dear friend who's in Greece, whose son is getting married in Greece. Not from Greece, the bride, but so last night, Mia, this wonderful, beautiful dog, she became ill. She had a gastric issue, and it kept me awake. I mean, I did sleep 4 or 5 hours, but that's not that much. But so Spirit says to me, you have an opportunity now in this moment to apply what you talk about, which is bringing forth the truth, which is, I am not tired. My cells are of divinity and love, and it is filled with the fire of energy. And listening to music, Josh Groban, on the way up here, just elevated my consciousness and restored my cells, plus to see you all. But it's just interesting how we each moment have the opportunity to apply what we know, what we aspire towards, to the everyday thought, moment, action in life. A man asked a Buddhist monk, how can I be happy? How can I allow myself to feel happiness in a world that's out of order and suffering all around me? The monk looked at him and said, if your mother was sick, would you stop eating? He said, no. And the monk said, why? Because then there are two people sick. The monk smiled, exactly. Many people believe that carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders is compassion. But often it is another form of suffering. The man lowered his eyes, but every day I see bad news. I see people struggling, and I feel guilty whenever I experience a joy. And the monk said, then he pointed towards a small flower growing through a crack in a stone path. Look at that flower. It grows in the world of storms, and yet it still blooms. The man stood silently. The monk continued, the flower does not ignore suffering. It simply does not allow suffering to stop it from expressing its true nature. Then the monk asked, if every kind-hearted person...
It's picking you up fine.
Huh?
It's picking you up fine.
Oh, okay. If every kind-hearted person became hopeless, who would there be to help others? The man's eyes widened. The world does not need more exhausted souls. It needs more people with enough peace inside to share it, enough hope to inspire it, enough strength to carry it. The man whispered, so being happy is not selfish? The monk smiled gently, no. Selfishness is turning away from suffering. Happiness is keeping your heart open despite of it. Then he added, be grateful for your meal. Call your parents, help your neighbor, smile at a stranger. Be kind to someone hurting. You do not heal the world by carrying all of its pain. You heal the world by reducing the pain you touch. Tears filled the man's eyes. For the first time, he understood. His happiness was not betrayal of those who suffered. It was fuel for helping them. And the monk said one final thing, protect your inner peace. Because a candle that burns itself out cannot give light to anyone. A peaceful heart is not escaping the world. It is serving the world in the most powerful way. The life of the spirit, that's the name of my talk today. The life of the spirit represents the like all of you, you're in touch with the divine one. To some degree, we all are. To some degree. But this is a great period of tremendous change that we are witnessing beyond belief, because for eons of time, we have succumbed to belief systems conditioning that do not promote connection but disconnection. And this has been going on for centuries, survival consciousness. The life of the spirit resumes clarity and coherence because spiritual divine nature of humanity governing the material, everything changes. Just like when you, during stages of growth, you to come to like yourself, you dismiss the negative messages that you acquired while you were traumatized, whatever experiences you might have had. And this world order that we have witnessed that promotes disconnection, that promotes competition, selfishness, individualism, and happiness for a few is the reverse of what is possible. This is my position. But it's based on ancient truth. And this knowledge that I'm speaking about the divine qualities in each of us, to me is our birthright, to me is in our genes and our cells, and it comes through consciousness from this field. Some people call it the morphic field, whatever, the energetic field that holds everything in operation in the universe. Accessing that energy, you being a creator, you can create anything you want. So has it happened in this time that we witness? Yeah, everyone's a creator. And what has happened is the creation has reflected now a result of extreme materialism, and spirit is just in the background. And we have fallen for the lie to some degree. We have. And to me, this is one of the greatest stories ever told. Humanity walking back to wholeness. Humanity needs a new story, the restoration story, instead of the old story, which is dominance, control, a belief in separation. And there is no such thing. There is that divine field, unlimited potential in that energetic field. If we believe in that, instead of saying, well, that's just the way it is. Why is it that way? Spiritual understanding is necessary as we evolve to creating a new world. I didn't come here to fit in. I came to add, like you all, creation of a new story. And we are, I hold true, creating a new story. And anytime there is the old that must be eliminated, there's chaos, destruction, fear, confusion, and people will come to ask themselves, who am I? The old identities and the cemented belief in right and wrong instead of open to all possibilities without judgment. Criticism, a belief, well, You're not like me. You don't look like me. Belief that you're different because you look different. All of that is a world, in my view, in amnesia. And this story of humanity coming back to coherence and clarity is not about a utopian ideal. It's not about a fad. It's not about isms at all. It is the innate principle that's planted on the soul. And that last song you just sang, what is it?
Single source. Everything comes from a single source.
Everything comes from the same single source. That is the divine truth within us. We are source. We come from source. Now, humans have the opportunity to come to know that truth more and more, moving away from limitation and beliefs that we've adopted to a new paradigm, a birthing, as humanity to me is in labor, expelling what doesn't serve the whole, but only a few. The misuse of all applied knowledge, like I talked about, that field of knowing, the intricate possibilities, can it be misused? You bet it can. And it can destroy not only humanity, if given the power, but we see some of that threatening to happen today. But the beautiful thing is, along with this destruction and chaos and fear, confusion, is another equal, if not more, release of divine idea, of light, of people coming forth to remember the truth within your being. We are not separate beings. We do come from God. We are God in manifestation and creation, to the degree we're awake. Reverend Ike was this guy. Do you remember him? Alexander, that was Alexander's teacher in New York City. And he was a minister and philosopher of religious science, I think it was. I didn't know him, but he said, God is man awake, and man is God asleep. It's catchy, you know. And so the walk to becoming awake doesn't have a limitation at all. And there's no map you can say, okay, let me go over here and get this set of instructions, because how we awaken to it isn't through the intellect. How we awaken to it is from a deep willingness to explore inner aspects of our beings that might be dormant. Inner aspects of our beings that know what's in our divine nature, that is our heritage, our birthright. It's not what you do, what you have that matters. It's being born. The life of spirit knows that every being and every human and non-human being have intrinsic worth, value. And none is more important than the other. So to apply divine awareness, we are all one. There is no separation. That doesn't mean you don't honor diversity, but diversity will be awakened in the minds and hearts of people that everyone is spirit. And happiness will be defined in a different way. Happiness is when you are in touch with the joy of that love and everybody's needs are met. That's happiness. Not just mine, not just a few. It's certainly not for just billionaires, but that's of the old story. We are leaving the old story, and to the degree we can act it out every day without adding to the suffering. But to be that flower that the monk talks about through the stone, stormy path, and the only flower. My teacher, Meher Baba, he says, the humanity, the new humanity, and that's what we are, seeds of that, The new humanity will live even if no one is there to live it, because it's a natural, innate blueprint and code in the human being to evolve to the awareness that we are divine. And applying those truths to society, well, at home, to our community, to society, to the country, to the world, the game changes. And if enough people came to remember, because it's not about discovering something really new. This is ancient knowledge embedded in the soul. And the soul is untouched, in my view. So it's remembering the walk for humanity today is remembering from forgetfulness, powerlessness, to the walk of spiritual freedom. And to me, that is the most beautiful gift. Zachary Fisher, I just saw his beautiful quote. I don't even know his history, but he said, "Do you realize how fortunate we are to be witnessing the dismantling of a paradigm that has kept humanity in survival consciousness for eons of time? We are so blessed to be seeds of that, because this isn't new information to you, but now, to me, I'm going to say that I feel that the reason this is the crucial time, this is the rebirth taking place. Humanity is going to give birth to more awaking up at a certain time. And since life is consciousness, Buddha said, your life is your thoughts. Life is consciousness, plugging into that morphic field of energy of all possibilities and applying it with divine truth creates a better world for all. For all. And how do we do that? How do we do that? By being willing to be that flower, for one thing, even if you're the only one willing to express the higher part of you in any given situation. But the thing is, it's a beautiful embrace, I feel, is without dying to some degrees of old ways, without dying, there's no possibility of resurrection. There's no possibility of the new story. You know, the Kabbalah is a wonderful belief and knowing, because the Kabbalah claims that humanity is about correction. And it's not something to judge or divide. It's a correction from moving away from what is not in alignment with the whole. There is a divine order. There is a divine order. And the divine order, you look in nature, you see that. However, nature, all of nature, doesn't have the opportunity you do to become conscious of who you are. Carl Jung said that the best opportunity of any lifetime is to be who you really are. It's just an amazing time, but we don't need a map, a set of instructions. It comes from within. That's why Emerson's, I love Ralph Waldo, and I loved him at 20. But that's why he said, talking about the oversoul, this has gone by many names that I'm speaking, oversoul, superconsciousness, God. When the intellect serves the higher, when the intellect, you can't, you know, this understanding is way beyond IQ. That's no measurement of intelligence. Not really. Intelligence is divine. That encompasses the whole in a comprehensive, total understanding, not the parts. So when the intellect serves this understanding that we are all interconnected, that human beings are wired for empathy, compassion, love, which is the greatest force in the universe, when we integrate more of that into all discourse of human society, everything changes. So art becomes an expression, as it is, of spirit. Artists have this way of plugging in, of course, like musicians, to the non-linear, the unlimited field. But when it becomes more conscious in a humanity, waking up, walking towards home, it's all the prodigal son analogy. Art becomes the expression of the soul journey and beyond. Science will not be reflective of limitation, because limitation is you are a walking neuron and you're your body parts. No, no. I'm an infinite being and unseen energies move through me if I get in touch with the love, with the highest qualities of me. And you might not be able to measure these aspects of knowing from the old science, you are with the five senses, that's limitation. So the new science will include this field of unlimited possibilities and potential that you've all read about, that's there. It just has to be accessed. And it can't be theorized. It has to be practiced. It has to be lived, just like God. God cannot be theorized. It has to be lived. We are walking the path of humanity to freedom. Do you all remember the analogy of Plato's analogy of the cave? Anybody? You might. Plato, a long time ago, I read about this in philosophy. Okay, there's a wall, cement wall behind me, and if we are living life looking at the parts or the shadow without tapping into the resources that we, our higher codes are innately built, then we are shackled. We are shackled. Picture me shackled to the wall. And Plato's analogy of the cave is that way in the distance, there is this bright opening of light. And here come a few people, and they come over to the wall where these people are shackled, looking at the shadow, getting distracted from your potential. And they said, come, come, and unshackle them and walk with me to that light. That's what you do. You're a seed of remembering the divinity within humanity, all of you, all of us. Now, can some people play a role of the shadow, of the darkness, of total forgetfulness that we are all one, there's no separation? We are born creators. Can some people play a role to show us what doesn't work? Because they're here. They have completely forgotten the truth, but that doesn't mean they're enemies. Because again, if we look at life as an integral whole, comprehensive integral whole, everybody plays a part in this moving away from shadow or limitation in the self to unlimited possibilities. So the whole human story seen from the whole, all of it's important. It's just like when you go to a therapist if you want to move through a grief or a problem that's stuck in your subconscious impression in your mind. A therapist will try to weed out the false that you're carrying about yourself. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. And I learned this from here. But it has to be exposed so you know why you might act or feel the way you do sometimes in your coping behaviors, in our limitations. It's the same with humanity now. the dismantling of a system that is intent on keeping us disconnected has to be exposed, because each of us have a little of that in each of us, to be honest. So, not only in science, but in health, talking about applying the divine principles, if enough people wake up to them, the world will shift in a short time. Life is consciousness, and we are the conduit of electric energy that comes from that unlimited source of knowing. So it's science, art would be expressed subservient to spirit primacy over matter. And all decisions are based on a good for the whole. And every master, every perfect consciousness that has manifested on our planet in history has said the same thing as a mirror: what I do, you can do. That isn't just a pretty saying, but what has happened in the distortion of things that occurred for manipulation and control through time. Those original messages from divinity to humans have been distorted and then reprogramming life. Living in a world that tells you how you should be, well, freedom is being free from that. And most of you are probably free spirits, so you didn't listen anyway, which is good. But there is only one of us. There is only one of us. And all the illnesses and the pain, the suffering, is a result of forgetting this truth and applying it to life. This is a time of tremendous rebirth. We can just be excited about being there with each other, to witness to the degree, and nobody knows any timing, and it doesn't matter. What one individual can do in being in a precious presence can move a whole community, and not having to do anything but be present, noticing, listening, being available to, paying attention to the unseen. I mean, just think about being children. Just remember when we engaged in an activity in nature, or there was no time. There was no time because our minds were not interrupted with linear cement. Because everything's so linear now, linear, you know, in the physical, or I have to get somewhere right now, always. So how much time do we take in the essence of the mystery? I remember sitting or being at Joyce Kilmer in my 30s, and there was this dammed up river, and we camped there. But we just one day just hung over the wall that blocked the river, and on the bottom you could see the sand and you could see creatures, little stick bugs. They had houses on their back. And it was my first husband, who's not here anymore, and we watched them 3 hours, because they had runways, they had communities, they were busy underwater, the stick bugs. But remaining in that state of awe shifts you out of the mind to the beauty, to the unmeasurable experience. Humanity is moving toward remembering the divinity that is our birthright, that is inside every human being, conscious or unconscious. Humanity has such a tremendous capacity for altruism. Look at Hurricane Helene. Look at any crisis in human history. People are right there. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you have. Nothing. Feed the whole. Let's get it done. But that's when an examples of where spirit governs matter and makes all the decisions. We can't wait for crisis. The life of the spirit is to be lived now in each moment. Spirit to govern matter. Spirit to govern human life. So politics in the future will be based on a sense of belonging, evolving, and inclusivity. How do we get this done? Money's not bad. It just depends on how you use it, obviously. No one will be hungry. This isn't some dream. It is the actual, like I said, that written in every major religion, the core of Hinduism, Vedantism, mystical Christianity, all the valued religions at the core, I said. But then it goes beyond religions, obviously, because this knowledge also includes what is my relationship with intergalactic beings? What is my relationship with the unknown and the unseen? And I say the unseen is equally as important as anything seen, including this collection of atoms I'm standing behind. The unseen is where we tap into this awareness. And we have to be willing to take risks of leaving our comfort zone and take the time not to worry about instruction. Meher Baba says, in the spiritual life, it is not necessary to have a complete map of the path in order to begin traveling. On the contrary, having such complete knowledge may actually hinder rather than help the onward march. The deeper secrets of spiritual life are unraveled to those who take risks and who make bold speculation and who make experiments with it. They are not meant for the idler who seeks guarantee at every step. Those who speculate from the shore about the ocean shall know only its surface, but those who would know the depths of the ocean must be willing to plunge into it. And it is true. We are the ocean in expression to the degree we have that awareness. We are the one that we have come for. And I believe that I incarnated here for, at this time for this particular happenings to become my transformation. And we're all on that journey. We all carry impressions that maybe don't serve the goal, but we're willing. And we're willing to not be comfortable. When I didn't sleep last night because Mia, sweet puppy, was sick, it's not her fault. There's instant forgiveness in a mind that is in touch with this creative spiritual principles we are capable of. Instant forgiveness. Love, compassion, empathy, connection and oneness. So I think that I just want to, you know, I could each, whatever sentence comes out of me, I could have a whole talk on. So it's like a big summarize, you know, in this divine way we go. But Lao Tzu, he says, if you want to awaken all of humanity, then awaken all of yourself. If you want to eliminate the suffering in the world, then eliminate all that is dark and negative in yourself. Truly, the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own transformation. So this is an amazing time we live, and I hope to be always, and I know, once the game shifts for you inside and you see these, you discover and feel these divine truths, you can't go back. That's a thing. Right? Or you suffer. And even that is almost impossible. But it becomes a more responsibility to be able to integrate, because we're multidimensional beings and we can't deny the human aspects of our being and the grief and the pain. But that doesn't mean we can't be stuck there. We can't stay stuck in an old story. Of course, we feel it all. And humanity is exhausted. But again, if we exhaust ourselves because we're carrying the pain or adding to the suffering by we and they type thing, then who's going to help? Who's going to help support us all when we might find out some of the things that we thought were true may not be in an evolving, open consciousness? The potential for that is always possible, because what is manifested is opposite in some ways to the potential that we have. Now, this time in history, people are done, whether they say it or not. The disassociation between theory and practice, between what we could be and what is too extreme. It's a crossroads. It's a crossroad because we must admit of a resignation that to know the truth. This is not normal. This is not healthy. The things that we're accepting are not healthy. That's not. When a kid graduates from college, and before he even he gets a job, and then he owes $100,000, but I mean, all of it, the schisms. I don't have, that's a whole nother talk. But one step at a time. It's a commitment, I think, that we all share, and I believe that if we can just remember to each moment try to be present and maybe be that flower from the stormy path in every moment, we can. It might be that you might become a bridge where somebody else can walk over and get a glimpse of the promise. Thank you.